Amen, amen. Well, good to see everyone out today. Hope 2019's been good to you. We're in it now. No turning back. Made our resolutions. Maybe we've kept them. Maybe not. It's okay. I'm not here to judge. Either way, we are blessed to see another day. This day that the Lord has made. And last week I did mention that my father was in the hospital, and I would be remiss to not be very thankful that he is with us this morning. I told him they didn't have to come. It was going to be on Facebook, that they could just sit and watch it. But as Sid reminded me, that generation, they don't do too well listening to people. They kind of do things their own way. And those little scratches, as they call them, they just shake that off and got to keep on going. So I am thankful that he did decide to come out and be with us this morning. Today, if you would turn to the book of Acts. I'm going to speak from the book of Acts, the fourth chapter, starting at the 32nd verse. Acts 4:32. We're going to read down through the fourth chapter into the fifth chapter, to verse 6. If you have your Bibles, the book of Acts, chapter 4. I'm going to read from the NIV version, so it may be a little different than your Bibles. But it reads as thus, at the 32nd verse. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and kept for yourself some of the money that you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then some young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. Verse 3 in chapter 5 says, Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit? Father God, we come now looking for a word from you. Ask that you open our hearts and open our minds that we may receive the message you have for us today. May this message work in our minds and our thinking, fill our hearts and edify our spirit. I ask now that you consecrate me, Lord, by the power of your grace so divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and let my will be lost in thine. It's in the wonderful and matchless name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. A divided mind. A divided mind. Dr. John Sarnos wrote a book called The Divided Mind. And in it, he discusses the medical conditions around psychosomatic disorders. It was a groundbreaking book, and basically he makes the argument for how our mind and how we think, how that translates through our feelings and disrupts our body, bodily functions, specifically our backs, our nervous system, that our thinking directly impacts disorders in the body. And so when we clear our thinking, when we learn to relax in our thinking, be positive in our thinking, not allowing anxiety to rest in our mind, flowing down into our body and our emotions, that we find that our body also relieves its pains. As he puts it in the book, that the interaction between the generally reasonable, rational, ethical, moral, conscious mind and the repressed feelings of emotional pain, hurt, sadness, and anger, characteristic of the unconscious mind, appears to be the basis for a mind-body disorder. Mind-body disorder. And some of us in our life, we can see how our thinking affects our emotions. It's kind of easy to see if you're around somebody and they say something that offends you. Your emotions react, you might get angry, right? You get offended by these things. Or someone says something nice, something pleasing, something flattering. Well, you may feel a sense of love or empathy with that person, right? These things, we can understand that, but what about this idea that in our thinking and in our emotions and not dealing with those emotions, how repressing that causes bodily harm? The body takes on the burden that the mind puts on it. Well, we also experience that in our spiritual walk, how we allow the things of our mind, our thinking, and our emotions, how we develop our emotions and how they play out in our lives, how that affects our heart and affects our body, our movements, how we react to other people. How does that affect our spirit? Where does the spirit play a role in all of this? How do we allow our divided mind, a mind that's separate from the body, separate from the emotions, how do we allow that mind to affect our spirit? There's a disorder there, a division, so they say. Well, as we look in the scripture, we see Ananias. And Ananias, normally when preachers speak about this, they talk about how he held back his money, and so God killed him. And so you better tithe, or God's going to kill you. Well, I'm not going there today. I'm going to go a little deeper than that. And the idea that Ananias was struggling with something in his heart. His heart wasn't in tune with God. He had allowed his mind and the world to infect him in a way that even when he was doing good, he wasn't able to give it all over to God. His heart wasn't fully sold out, as we say, for his mission, for God's purpose. And so, therefore, God made him an example. Well, the three ways I want to look at today, how we can make sure that our heart is fully sold out for God, that it's not divided in any way from God's point, from God's purpose, from what God is trying to do through us. The first way is we have to care. And secondly, we learn to share. And then finally, we prepare. We care, we share, and we prepare. Well, we have to find the things that we care for. Last week, we talked about knowing the why, how in business, corporations spend all this money trying to figure out why they do something. They know what, they know how. But why do they do it? Can't just be about money. It has to be something more passionate to make the employees buy in, to make your customer buy in. And what's our why? Well, we discussed it and led to believe that our why is Jesus. Our why is our spiritual walk. Our why is our relationship with Christ And that is our motivation, our passion. And it stays there in that place. And we don't allow anything else to get us outside of that. And so in the text in the book of Acts, we find a body of believers, a new body of believers. They didn't really have a church. They didn't have a building that they were paying mortgage on or anything. They didn't have a lot of events to attend. They didn't come once a week. They were a community. They had sold out. They had just heard a message. Someone told them that this man, Christ, had come and died on a cross for their sins. That if you believe in this Jesus that came, that your sins will be wiped away and forgiven, and you won't have to die and go to hell, but when you die, you're going to go to heaven and be with God. That's all they knew. And the Spirit has filled them and moved them in such a way that they gave up everything they had to be a part of this community. They forsake all the job and the family didn't believe, everything, because they knew that this was what their life was going to be about. That's what they cared about. They were Spirit-filled. Oh, how exciting to be in that time, where you could really wipe away everything. They left their cell phones at home. Cancel my plan. I'm just going to be in this community and worship and love and follow the words of this Jesus Christ who died for me. Oh, if we could have that back today. They knew what they cared about. So they had no problem giving up everything. They had no problem joining people who they didn't know. They didn't know where these people were from. Didn't know their background. It didn't matter. Didn't know what kind of food they ate. Don't know what their favorite team was. Who they rooted for. It didn't matter. All they cared about was seeking this Spirit, this Christ, so that they could wipe away their sins and be forgiven. Isn't that what we want? More than anything, don't we want to just wipe away my life, the bad things that I've done, the regrets, the guilt, the shame, and just live a Spirit-filled existence, worshiping God in His presence? Hallelujah. They knew what they cared about. They understood their why. And so they came, forsaking all, being obedient to what the Spirit had called them to do. In our lives, we try and shed some things away. In our walk with Christ, we give up some things. You know the things in your life, you had to put it down. I can't do that anymore. Can't be around that anymore. I'm on a new place. I'm on this new walk. We're excited about this thing, walking in it. I want to know you, Lord. I want to see your face. But then life happens. The weight of the world is still there. The division of the world is still there. The distractions, they come bombarding us with so much confusion and temptations and misinformation, everything. We try to keep it out. That's why we come here. Sanctuary. A safe place. Where we know we can find just the purity in Christ. But we have to take that out beyond these walls. It's our job to take that out into the world. It's our job to share it. See, once we know our spiritual mission, once we know what God is doing, once we know our focus, we have to share that with the rest of the world. We can't let the world influence us, but we have to be the influence on the world. Oh, and all my friends, I can't avoid the conversation of the shutdown. There's no way around it. And everybody has their opinion. Everybody has their sides. And I just say to them, I said, you know, we all know what we're called to do, though. In these moments, when the world wants to make us so divided, the world wants to make us so angry about the situation, so frustrated, like, why can't they just get along and make this work out? We're called to be the example. We're called to be the light. I know we've asked them to be leadership, but they're not leaders. They lead in their way, right? That's the world's way. Christ has called us to lead in our way, in His way. We have to be the light, regardless of what the world does. The world is always going to be a mess. That's its design. But we're called to be that solemn thinking, to be sober, if you will, to say, oh, I see the drama. Wow, that's quite good theater out there. But for me in my house, we serve the Lord. And we share that with everyone we meet. We can have these conversations. We can feel however we want to feel about the situation. But just know that we are directed by a higher power. We rise above all of these things. We endure them together. That's why we have this community, so we can come together in our faith. We're a church of living stones, each one together built as the foundation on Christ. Upon that rock, we share the gospel. We share the testimony. No matter what happens, I serve a risen Savior, and He's in the world today. We have to be careful what we let inside of our minds. We have to be mindful, here it is, mindful of how these things affect us, what we allow into our hearts, what moves us in our passions. If we allow the world to come in and influence, then we're going to fall short of what God is trying to do through us. Or just look in the text. It says that with great power the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And that God's grace was so powerfully at work in them, all that were there was no needy person among them. That lays it all out right there. Because they powerfully testified. Because they knew the main thing. They kept the main thing, the main thing. They kept Christ first. All else was taken care of. And that's what we're called to do. Don't let the world get into our minds to the place that it gets us out of our place of knowing what Christ is doing. This past Christmas, one story that I love that they don't show so much anymore is A Christmas Carol. You know it, old Ebenezer Scrooge. They've kind of replaced him with the Grinch now. You know, you get Grinch everything, all kind of versions of the Grinch. And I guess he's similar. You know, he's got the hardened heart, and he hates everybody, and takes the spirit of Christmas to liven him up. But I'm more of a Ebenezer Scrooge kind of guy. You know, I guess it's kind of scary. It's true. But it's also a little deeper. To me, it gets more to our condition. You know Ebenezer, he loved money, didn't he? Ebenezer loved his money. He'd pinch it up and just, yeah, that's that good stuff right there. And he hoarded it. He loved it so much, he just hoarded it. It was the closest and dearest thing to him. And then he goes home and he sees his old business partner, Jacob Marley. And that was always my favorite part. You hear the chains rattling, and here comes Jacob. And he was scary. I mean, when I was a kid, you know, I'd be watching like, ooh, ooh, is that Jacob? Ooh, ooh. But his message was so powerful. His message was so profound. Because what he was telling him was, Ebenezer, what you love in this life is going to be chained to you in the next. Whatever you allow into your mind, whatever you just mull over again and again, what you pour your passion into, it's going to chain you in the next life. It's going to hold you down if you don't let it go. What are our chains? What are the things that we have to break free from? Oh, he says in the text, I love how he says, I wear the chains I forged in life. I made it link by link and yard by yard. I girded it on my own free will, and on my own free will, I wore it. What is it that we choose to allow into our life? The things that we obsess over, things that we have chained ourselves to. Christ says we have to break every chain. That's why he came. It's his amazing grace. No matter what you are chained to today, or no matter what you were chained to in your life, believing in Christ and his Spirit breaks away those chains. He has set us free. His Spirit is freedom. Those who believe in Christ and live in Christ are free indeed. This is what it's talking about. We don't have to be chained to this world and its beliefs. We know that Christ has set us free. And as we share the good news of his coming, of his redemption, of his freedom, then we prepare our hearts, we prepare our souls for its eternal journey. And this is what Ananias missed out on. See, I'm not too hard on Ananias. I can understand him. He thought he was doing the right thing. He was just making a business decision, right? We all prepare. We have budgets. We plan. We have schedules. All this is being good steward, is being responsible, trying to do the right thing. And here was Ananias. He was just trying to do the right thing. He had sold his land, but he had to keep a portion, just a portion of it. He was trying to save a little. Isn't that what they tell us to do? Pay yourself. So grandma always said, make sure you pay yourself now. Don't give it all away. He was trying to be a good steward. But see, the Spirit had called him to give it all. Because in emptying ourselves and giving everything to God, it allows him to give himself all to us. And that's where he needs us to be. We have to have no fear. We have to give that up. We have to take away the regrets of our past. We have to give that up. We have to take away the mistakes that we made, the accomplishments that we've had, the ego that drives us to do great things. We have to give all that up. Give it over to him 100% so that he can pour fully his Spirit back into us. And Peter touches on it. He says, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit? Oh, and Jesus says there's only one unforgivable sin. You never swear against the Spirit, right? That Holy Spirit, why is that so sacred? Because that's what's left for us. That's the seed. That's what's in us. That's what lives with us and walks with us, his Spirit. It's precious in his sight. And when we deny that, we're denying him. We're allowing that piece of us to die. So he calls us to open ourselves up. Don't give Satan a corner. Don't give him a crevice. Don't give him 1%. Don't give him 0.0009. Give it all to Christ. Give it all over to him. And watch how much more he gives back to you. I was a show that I used to watch. I can't watch it anymore. It's a little too disturbing. But a show called Hoarders. Anybody seen it? Hoarders, Hoarders. Well, Hoarders is a show about, you guessed it, hoarders. And I don't mean people that like keep stuff. Look, we all have junk somewhere stashed up in every nook and cranny of the house. Not talking about that. These are people who the house is overrun with stuff. You can't even walk in the door. They got stuff piled up. I don't know how they live like that, but it's a real thing. And it's a psychological condition, right? So one episode, this lady had so much stuff in the house, and she was complaining how she had lost her pets. She thought her pets had just ran away because she had so much stuff in the house. And it made her sad, as she can't keep her pets around anymore. So they started cleaning everything out and moving all the junk, and you know what happened? They started finding her pets. There they were, just dead. Been caught up in her books or up in her junk. Neglected, unfed, unloved, passed away. And that's how we get in our spirit. We're hoarders. We hoard all this stuff from life. All the things that have happened to us. We just keep hanging on to it. More stuff comes in and we find a new place for it. Yeah, you stay, you stay. This thing stay, this thing stay. And we lose the good things, the precious things, the things that we used to really love and enjoy. We can't even find them anymore. They just died away because we forgot about them. We didn't give them any more attention. What are those things? Be careful what we let in. Be careful what we give place in our hearts. Christ asks for all of us. He wants us to turn it all over to Him. What are the things in our lives we haven't quite given over to Him? We pray over our food every time we eat. Why don't we pray every time before we go into our job? Lord, thank you for this job. Thank you for this opportunity to walk into this building, to do work one more time. Give me grace. Give me your presence. Why don't we pray when we get ready to meet a friend? Lord, thank you for this dear friend I'm about to meet, for this relationship. Use it to glorify you. Use it to edify us. Draw us closer, not just in our walk, but in our walk with you. Thank you. Why don't we do that? Give him presence. Give the Spirit presence. You watching TV? That should be a whole lot of praying. That should just be constant prayer. Lord bless him, Lord bless him, Lord bless him. Oh, Lord bless him. Invite the Spirit in. Give it place. Give it presence today so we can prepare ourselves for what God has for us. God has a vision for you. No matter what you see yourself, He has a vision. And to live that vision out, we have to fully let him in. So don't have a divided mind as the band comes forward. Don't have a divided mind today. Don't let our thoughts get in the way of what God is doing in our hearts. The Bible says to guard your heart because from it pours out the essence of life. Let it pour out. Let him pour out. This time, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. We have chosen this song this week. It's called Glorious Day. And I love, you know, praise and worship music. And I don't know if I've ever heard a song that sums up the gospel in the chorus. Living, he loves me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day. So let's stand up and sing this together. Are we singing this together?
No.
Oh, it's a special song. Sorry. You don't have to stand. Let's think about those words resonating, you know. No other religion can say, you know, rising, he justified freely forever. One day we're going to see him. What a glorious day. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus came by.
Accept Christ as your Savior. Maybe you're looking for a church home. It's a place to set up roots, continue your journey. I invite you to accept this place. Be a part of this body of Christ. Is there a one?
Jesus, the sweetest.
be dismissed. Now may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the sweet communion of his Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with each and every one of us, henceforth, now, and forevermore. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Amen.
Thank you.